Westside Baptist Church in Noonan, Georgia, brings you our weekly podcast. We hope you will be encouraged by our music and a message from the Word of God as we present our Sunday morning and Sunday evening services and our weekly broadcast by Dr. Melvin Payne. We thank you for listening.
But if you have your Bibles, I'm going to go this direction in Acts chapter 26, I believe. So while you're turning to Acts chapter 26, I'm going to look at something. Acts chapter 26. Ladies and gentlemen, if you would, forget turning to Acts chapter 26 and turn to Psalm chapter 17, please. Psalm chapter 17. It says in Psalm chapter 17, Father, I trust that I've followed your leadership, and I pray you'll lead and guide my tongue this morning. In the name of Jesus we pray, amen. It's good, good, good to be in church. Amen. I like what David said in Psalm chapter 17 when he said, as for me. One of the reasons why I like this is because in the previous chapter, at the beginning of chapter 16, he says, preserve me. There's a struggle going on. And the psalmist is saying, preserve me. He's in a battle. He's in the midst of some turmoil, whether it be outwardly or whether it be a spiritual situation or inwardly. He's in turmoil, but then we just one chapter later, I mean, not very long at all, he's now saying, as for me. Kind of like Joshua when he says, as for me and my house, we will serve the Lord. And so here, what a change in tone when in one chapter he's saying, preserve me. And ladies and gentlemen, I want to say this to you in love, and I want you to know that I care, and that some of you, if I may say, are in chapter 16, and some of you are in chapter 17. Meaning some of you are in the midst of a battle and you're saying, God, preserve me. I mean, I don't think I'm going to make it this time. This is too big for me. It seems too costly. I don't believe I can rebound. And in desperation, you say, God, preserve me. Keep me. Help me. Well, there's some good news if you're in that area of your life. The good news is the page does turn. And there's a new chapter in your life. This is 2017. And we can turn the page. Christians, we can turn the page. You can look back on your failures in 2016 rather. You can look back at your failures, and the good thing is, like the song that Dave just sang, you can leave it there. You don't have to drag that nasty stuff with you into 2017. We can start with a clean slate, no matter what you've done. No matter where you've been, today we can start with a clean slate. And it's not because that is all within us. Ladies and gentlemen, that is because Christ is in us. If you know Christ as your Savior, you have a living being in you. See, people don't understand. Matter of fact, I was going to preach out of Acts chapter 26 today, we find that Paul was in trouble, not just with the religious rule, but with the government. long story short, he was in a train wreck. He was in a mess. And you know why he was in a mess? If you go back and read the chapters prior to chapter 26, you'll find he was in a mess because of one thing. He said, Jesus is alive. And that's it. Ladies and gentlemen, I want to tell you, it may be controversial, but Jesus is alive. And if you know him as your personal Lord and Savior, he's just not a neutral entity that is in you, but he is alive. He is active. He has goals and lines of accomplishment that he wants you and I to achieve in our Christian life. So this thing that Jesus is alive is not just a slogan that we put on the marquee out there during Easter time. The truth is, he is alive. Say, well, how do you know he is alive? Because he lives in me. Hey, I don't have to have any other evidence. I know he is alive because he lives in me. I remember years ago I read this illustration, and I may have shared it with you, but there was a man that was arguing with a Christian man, and he's saying, how do you know Jesus is alive? How do you know Jesus is alive? And this man had an orange. I don't know why he had an orange, but he had an orange. And he had an orange, and he began to open that orange up and began to peel it off and began to eat it in little sections like oranges are. And the Christian man said, man, this orange sure is good, isn't it? And he'd chew it up a little and throw another piece in his mouth, and he'd tell the lost fella, he'd say, man, this orange sure is good, isn't it? When frustration, the lost individual that was arguing with the Christian said, how can I know how good the orange is? I haven't tasted it. And the fact of the matter is, if you don't know just how good Jesus is, it's because you hadn't tasted it. But may I tell you what? You get a good taste of Jesus, I promise you, he'll make a difference. Amen. He'll make a difference in a 52-year-old getting born again over here, won't he, sister? Isn't that great? But so you see here in the one chapter, David is preserve me. The next chapter, he says, as for me, I will behold thy face in righteousness. And then he says, I shall be satisfied. Amen. Ladies and gentlemen, if you ever have a true encounter with Jesus Christ, you will be satisfied. Preacher, are you saying that if I accept Christ as my Savior, it's going to be smooth sailing from then on? Everything's going to fall at my feet. It's going to be great. The TV preachers tell me if I'll send them a donation, God will give it back to me a hundredfold. That'll happen too. And the answer is no. Paul was in the hot seat in chapter 26 of the book of Acts because he was a Christian. And because he professed his Christianity, he was in the hot seat. And I want to promise you this. If you accept Christ as your Lord and Savior today, if you don't know him and you become his child, it's not going to be perfect smooth sailing. The old devil's going to rear up his ugly head and do everything he can to hurt you and destroy you. You see, right now, you're dead. Do you hear that? You're dead in trespasses of sin. You're no threat to the old devil. But if you recognize your lostness today, you recognize your need for a loving Savior to forgive you of your sins and to wash them away. The Bible says to wash them away. When you come to that conclusion and you accept Christ as your Savior, you become a possible threat to the kingdom of Satan, and he's going to go after you like he hasn't gone after others in many days. You see, when he hates your guts, period. If you're lost, you're his child, the devil's child, he hates your guts. He wants to drag you into hell with him. Why? Because the Bible says that hell, why was it created? For the devil and his angels. It was created for them. The problem is, his angels, his children, will go along with him. We're going to go to hell without the Lord Jesus Christ as our personal Lord and Savior. It's really not that difficult to understand. But nevertheless, there's a supernatural battle that takes place here. If I tell you that Christ loves you, if I tell you he loved you so much that he died on the cross for your sins, I want you to think about this. Jesus Christ in heaven, on the throne, the Godhead comes together and the decision is made that there has to be a complete sacrifice for sin. Remember, in the Old Testament, they've been killing everything. Cows, bulls, goats, sheep, turtle doves. They've been sacrificing millions of animals. And can you imagine the millions and the billions of gallons of blood that had been spilt in the Old Testament as a redemption for the sins of the Jews? Imagine that. That's a lot of blood. That's a lot of death. And the Godhead said, we're going to finalize this once and for all. We're going to find a supreme sacrifice that will stop all this madness. And you know, they looked around. There's a song that indicates they looked in through the universes and so forth and couldn't find, and this one, this angel and that angel. I don't know how accurate the song is, but I know this. Jesus stood up. And he became the sacrifice. Stepped off out of the throne room of heaven. Dropped into the womb of a little sinner girl named Mary. Isn't that something? Mary was a sinner. If Mary had not received Christ as her Lord and Savior, she'd have died and busted hell slap open like the rest of us if we reject Christ. Can you imagine? God, everything, stepping out of the throne room into a sinner and then living on this nasty earth. Now, folks, I want to tell you, I can appreciate you that like to go camping. I appreciate you. Brother Todd and some of you, y'all love going camping, and that is great. But I just can't stand the grit under my feet. Even if I got shoes on, the grit. And even when we camped in campers, and I just felt dirty the whole time. I mean, it was just nasty. Not literally, but that's the way I felt. Now, can you imagine? I've never lived in a palace before. I've never been to heaven, but can you imagine how filthy this world is and was when you compare it to what heaven's like? And yet he, Christ, came to this world. He was 100% God, 100% man. He was God in the flesh. And he came for one reason. And that was to die for our sins. What is the difference between someone that dies and doesn't go to heaven and someone that dies and will go to heaven? The difference is what Jesus said to one individual in the New Testament. Remember what it was? Ye must be born again. I want to tell you, that fellow said, be born again? Are you saying I'm to get back into my mother's womb and be born all over again? And the answer to that is no. Being born again is to know the Lord Jesus Christ as your wonderful Savior. I remember when I accepted the Lord, some things happened. And I believe for people to be saved, according to the Word of God, there's some things that have to happen. Number one, Jesus has already done his part. He died on the cross for our sins. Our sins were nailed to the cross. Nailed to the cross. Amen. He's done his part. He resurrected after 3 days, put a whipping on the old devil, death, hell, and the grave. The devil had a black eye for at least 3 years. It was a good one. The Lord gave him a licking. Knocked him out. The Bible says when he came out, he was carrying the keys of hell. You know, I can just see it. Forgive me for being so simple-minded. I can just see the Lord. So what's that noise? That's Jesus. He's done his work. He's completed his task. Now what are we to do with Jesus? He's done all that he had to do. He did it because he loved you. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son. You see, there was a great love there. And the only difference between a person that doesn't go to heaven and a person that does go to heaven is that somebody, the Bible says, believes. I remember when the Holy Spirit told me I had to be saved or born again. The Holy Spirit told me, Alton, you're a sinner, and sin will send you to a devil's hell. The Holy Spirit grabbed a hold of me, and I had to. I mean to tell you, it drove me to my knees. And there I accepted Christ in a little house on Ringle Road in Chamblee, Georgia. I remember exactly, I thought many times about going by there and knocking on the door and asking somebody, whoever lives there now, if I could go in and see that those two spots where my knees nailed. That would be, wouldn't that be cool? I think it would be. I'm afraid in that neighborhood now they may shoot me if I went to the door. But nevertheless, it would be so cool to do that. But I had the Holy Spirit saying to me, you need to be saved. And ladies and gentlemen, if you don't know Christ, there could be a whisper saying you need to be saved. That's not your conscience. That's the Holy Spirit. Too many times we say, let the our conscience be our guide. Many times it's not our conscience talking to us, it's the Holy Spirit talking to us. And all we have to do, according to the Word of God, is to confess our sins before the Lord. Ask Him to forgive us and cleanse us and make us a new creature in Him. And the Bible tells us that He will save us. He's faithful and just, the Bible says. And I don't care where you are, who you are, where you've been, He will save you. We can give you examples of after example of those that have been wicked and lost, murderers. Yes, murderers, homosexuals, the adulterers, the thieves, the liars, those that are deep in sin, and yet Jesus loves them enough to save them. Isn't that wonderful? That's who David said. That's who he said when he said, as for me, I will behold thy face. As for me, have you beheld his face today? some of you needed help this morning and you sought the face of God on the altar as His children. But the altar is still open, by the way, for whatever need you have, O Christians. But today, if you don't know the Lord as your Savior, He's waiting on you. He's finished His task. You just have to recognize your lostness, your need for Christ, and He'll save you. Matter of fact, in a few minutes, we're going to have an invitation. If you don't know the Lord as your Savior and you would like to know Christ, you'd like to have that alive Savior living in you, we'll have somebody take the Word of God and show you how you can be saved today. Wouldn't you like that? Oh, what a wonderful way to start off the new year. A new Christian, no sin held to your account. If somebody could go to God and say, well, I know that man or I know that woman, and let me tell you they're such and such and this and that, and God would say, I'm sorry. Their slate is clean as far as I can see. Do you need a clean slate this morning? The altars are open, Brother Dave, if you would, please. Can we say, Christians, can we say, as for me, I behold thy face? Have we sought the face of God in those things that we need? Christian, an individual or person, if you don't know Christ as your Savior, I want to invite you this morning to seek the face of God. He loves you. He loved you enough to leave heaven. He loved you enough to die on the cross for you and me to be the final, the last complete sacrifice, and we have remission or forgiveness of our sins by the shedding of the blood of the Lord Jesus Christ. And all you have to do is take it. It's been given. What are you going to do with it this morning? Let's all stand, please. Every head bowed, every eye closed. Don't do what your conscience tells you this morning, Christian, lost person. Do what the Holy Spirit tells you to do this morning.